Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. We're broadcasting to you live once again from the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus here in Edmond, Oklahoma. It's nice to be back on live after a couple weeks of adjusting using recordings due to the summer educational program schedule, trying to fit the shows in around that. Nuclear explosions will produce an earth-covering cloud that will give us a nuclear night. The sun will not get through. Crops will not grow. Billions will be killed by the nuclear blasts. Those remaining will starve. This is no wolf cry. It is prophesied in your Bible. It is real. The late educator and theologian and Worldwide Church of God founder, Herbert W. Armstrong, wrote that in a co-worker letter on August 23rd, 1984. That is quite an alarming statement that he made there. And how could someone ever speak with that kind of dogmatic confidence without having a sure source of information, without knowing that his source is reliable? That shows the value that God's church places on Bible prophecy. We can just briefly go through these scriptures that explain why prophecy matters, why it's relevant to your life, and why the Philadelphia Church of God today, like Mr. Armstrong and the Worldwide Church of God before us, does place such high emphasis on prophecy. Matthew 16, verse 18 shows us that there is only one true church. And in that verse it says, "Upon this rock I will build my church." That's Jesus Christ speaking. The word rock should be capitalized. Christ is saying, "I will build my church upon a rock." In other words, upon myself. I am the rock. Colossians 1 verse 18 shows us that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Colossians 2 verse 19 warns against church members not holding on to the head. Christ is the head. He is the leader of God's one true church. And every member of that church has to hold on to him, has to follow him, has to follow government as that government aligns with what Christ says. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27 shows that the church is the body of Christ. That's a rather vivid analogy. Christ is the head, the church is the body. So, if Christ is the head and the church is the body, that would mean that whatever Christ does, whatever he says or believes is important, should be the same for us. Revelation 19, verse 10 here, right at the end, it says, "The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." That is why the Philadelphia Church of God emphasizes Bible prophecy so heavily. The testimony or the witness or record or report of Christ is the spirit of prophecy. This is how we can verify where God is working today, which church, which group Christ is leading. God's one true church must follow its head, Jesus Christ. When Christ was on earth, he prophesied. God's man today prophesies with the support of God's one true church. Now, of course, this does not mean that anybody should blindly follow a human being or any sort of a group. In fact, we're warned in 1 John 4 to discern the spirits. 1 John 4 verse 1 says, many false prophets are gone out into the world. And then verse 2 says, hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. So there are specific things to look for. There are true spirits. There are false spirits. There are true prophets and false prophets. You can judge whether a prophet is a true prophet of God by the fruits. Does what that prophet says actually come true? That is how we have to judge who really is serving God, who really is doing God's will. Are the forecasts he makes actually coming to pass like he says they will? That's why it's important to only follow a man as that man follows Christ. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1. And then Jeremiah 17 verse 5 says, you're cursed if you're just looking for a man to follow. If you just follow a man for the sake of following a man. There's a big problem with that. Only if the man is following Christ should anybody else follow him. In any age, those with an open mind and the humility to learn can prove where God is working. The PCG claims to be upholding the legacy of Mr. Armstrong. But what is his legacy? 50 plus years of humanitarianism, true education, and accurate forecasts. He was right. You can prove that beyond any doubt. Now, as plenty of leaders for God have done throughout history, Mr. Armstrong was totally filled with urgency in doing God's work. And in fact, it's impossible to know when certain events are going to happen, when certain world events will play out the exact way that prophecy tells us. We can't know the specific day and hour when prophecies will be fulfilled, but the Bible does give us a chronology. It does give us a timeline of events that lead right up to the second coming of Jesus Christ. In fact, a lot of the time, Christ will allow his human servants to believe that Christ is about to return while they're still alive. Mr. Armstrong wasn't sure if he'd be alive when Christ returned, but the Apostle Paul in the Bible certainly thought that he would live to see the second coming of Jesus Christ. And that was nearly 2,000 years ago. That urgency really does make God's servants a whole lot more effective. If they're really not sure whether Christ will return the very next day. If you knew for a fact that Christ were returning tomorrow, that would really change the way you lived. So that doesn't mean that everything God's servants say is then undermined. If perhaps they were a little bit off on the timing. And again, No one actually says here is the specific day and time and year when Christ will return. God's servants will never say that because that contradicts what the Bible says. But by examining world events, looking at the fulfillment of prophecy, it is certainly possible to be a little bit off on the timing of when it all takes place. But what are the fruits? What are the prophecies that Mr. Armstrong always talked about? And did they come to pass? Are they still in the process of coming to pass faster than ever since he died in 1986? You can prove that they are. Luke 21, verse 36 says, "Watch you therefore and pray always." This is talking about watching world events, watching how they unfold according to Bible prophecy, and then praying about that. And then it says that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. That is the formula there. Watch and pray. Just like that quote at the beginning of the show today, there are some devastating events about to come to pass, just like the Bible says they will. But you can be accounted worthy to escape. It's a matter of watching and praying. Having an open mind, actually searching what the Bible says will happen. Mr. Armstrong did that. That was the source of his accurate forecasts. It's not like he just came up with these dramatic prophecies that would very soon be fulfilled. Mr. Armstrong didn't see Germany in ruin after World War II and foretell that they would soon rise to dominate the continent just because of his own imagination. That came straight out of the Bible. And that's exactly the way it's done to this day. Just like Mr. Armstrong did it, searching the Bible, letting God open up the meaning of these verses to his servant, who then passes that along to everyone else in the church and to everyone else in the world as a warning and as hope. And it's really so valuable to understand prophecy, because when we see these things happening, fulfilling what the Bible says, it only makes us believe even more that all the other prophecies that haven't been fulfilled just yet will also be fulfilled. And those yet to be fulfilled prophecies include overwhelming good news: Christ returning and solving all human problems. That is foretold in the Bible. There will be a time of everlasting peace, happiness, joy, prosperity, abundance, blessings among all races, among all nations, as long as they choose individually and collectively to obey. They will be blessed beyond belief very soon when Christ takes over. That's in the Bible. So when we see some of the bad news coming to pass, whether it's rioting in the cities of America or the rise of terrifying Gentile powers like Iran, Germany, Russia, and China, yes, that is bad news in the short term. But it's also just verifying the fact that the good news prophecies will also come true. To Today we're just going to spend the rest of the time focusing on just one of Mr. Armstrong's forecasts that proves he was right. Financial calamity in America will provoke the rise of a superpower in Europe led by Germany. Now again, Mr. Armstrong talked about Germany dominating Europe back in the 40s and 50s. Back when their aspirations to dominate Europe with a Nazi Reich were completely obliterated. They were crushed. Yet Mr. Armstrong said Germany would again dominate Europe. Here we are, almost 80 years later, and he was right. But he, like I said, he gets more specific. He actually said that financial calamity in America would provoke this rise. Europe has had trouble fully uniting ever since World War II. There's naturally a lot of mistrust there on the continent because of their history of deadly wars against each other. Yet, what has happened in the last decade plus that has very rapidly changed this reality? September 11th, not 2001, but 2008. This is the day remembered as America's financial 9/11. There's a section in the He Was Right brochure, pamphlet, colorful booklet at thetrumpet.com available to you for free. And this section of that booklet is titled, Our Financial 9/11 Was Prophesied. It says here, in light of recent events, that forecast by Mr. Armstrong truly is impressive. Not to mention an undeniable testament to Mr. Armstrong's matchless grasp of biblical prophecy. That September 11th, 2008 financial crisis in America has been described by many outlets as the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression. And it gives a stat here, since the start of 2008, more than 460 banks have failed in the U.S. alone. Contrast that with the 5 years prior to 2008, during which only 10 banks failed. So 10 banks fail in 5 years, and then in less than a decade after that, since this booklet was last updated in 2017, less than a decade after 10 banks failed in just 5 years, 460 banks in the U.S. failed. In 2011, for the first time since World War II, U.S. debt exceeded its gross domestic product. So you could probably understand. You can understand by hearing that why Europe might be a little bit shaken. Why they might lose a bit of confidence in America. The He Was Right booklet continues, looking back, it is clear that the events of September 2008 dealt a death blow to America's reputation as a stable economic superpower. Mr. Armstrong talked about this nearly a century, basically, before it ever happened. Multiple decades before it happened. More than well over 50 years before it happened. Back in the September 1983 Plain Truth, there was the comment that we really just don't understand how important confidence in America is to the stability of the entire Western world. If America is unstable, that means big trouble is coming for many other nations too. That's what it's saying there. And back in that Plain Truth edition, September 1983, notice this. The lack of confidence in American leadership must ultimately lead to a parting of the ways between the United States and Western Europe. That did happen right after that economic collapse in 2008. Within 14 months, all 27 EU member nations ratified the Lisbon Treaty. By December 2009, their constitution was in effect. And as the He Was Right booklet says, this effectively forged the EU into an imperial power. And of course, many European leaders quickly blamed America for the problem. They had no problem casting blame, shaming America for this financial crisis of 2008. Yes, it was America's fault, but you would think that Germany, France, some of these other nations would maybe be a little bit more mindful of all that America has done for them. America rebuilt Germany after World War II. Germany, the last nation at the time that would have deserved to be rebuilt. Yet America rebuilt them. America is the reason that France is still a nation today. Yet they're coming out and heaping scorn upon the U.S. without any hesitation after this collapse in 2008. There is a whole lot of animosity between Europeans and Americans. I've noticed that plenty of times. I like to say I love all people, so I don't have any issue there, but plenty of other people don't feel the same way. There is definitely some division there, and that has only increased with the election of President Donald Trump, because the German media, believe it or not, actually reports more negatively on President Trump than the American media does. That doesn't even seem possible. The American media is over 90% negative, and I believe the German media is 96% negative toward the American president. He's holding Europe accountable for paying for its own part in mutual self-defense. He is actively trying to separate America from Europe. And Europe, of course, is happy to go along with that because they haven't trusted us since at least 2008, since that financial collapse. In 2009, Europe went through their own debt crisis. But there were plenty of indications that point to that crisis being manufactured, that crisis being intentional, so that Germany could rise to dominate even faster. Again, all of this taking place very shortly after a financial calamity in America. Now, this booklet probably could be updated again because of the events of this year. With the coronavirus, all the lockdowns causing tens of millions of Americans to lose their jobs, causing the stock market to plummet from an all-time high to dangerously low levels. Mr. Trump is certainly economically savvy, and if anyone could rebuild the country to at least a good portion of what it once had recently, it would probably be him. But you just see the solutions being presented to this crisis. There's an article in the May-June Trumpet from executive editor Stephen Fleury titled "The Cure is Killing Us." And it does talk about incalculable cost to our economy, to our workforce, And sure enough, the solution that's being presented, socialism, a system that has failed repeatedly in every nation that has ever tried it for an entire century now. Do you think a socialist U.S. will cause any confidence in Europe? Do you think America spending over $2 trillion on an aid package is going to cause any confidence in Europe? This is a really dangerous time, and Europe certainly wants to take advantage of American weakness right now. Weakness that is far worse than it was back in 2008. So we have to know these prophecies, know where they're leading. It is bad news in the short term, but like I said, it does have such an inspiring and uplifting conclusion. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.